Welcome to the Book Studio. I'm your host, Beth Ann Patrick, and today I'm here with Eli Kintish. He's got a book called Hack the Planet, Scientists' Best Hope or Worst Nightmare for Averting Climate Catastrophe. So just a little light subject, Eli, for us to start off with.
Absolutely.
It's really, really a tough one. But Hack the Planet isn't just about climate change and those issues. It tackles a science that was previously considered a fringe discipline, and that's the field of geoengineering. So let's talk about why it's being taken more seriously now and what it is.
So only 3 years ago, most of the standard conventional climate scientists thought that geoengineering was a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. And when you hear what it is, you'll understand why. geoengineering is the idea of global control of climate. Mm-hmm. Efforts that would change the alkalinity of the ocean or alter the sky or change the reflectivity of leaves in forests, steps that engineers could do that would radically alter whole sections of the Earth in order to reverse global warming.
It's a really big concept to take in, and humans tried in a little way, and you talk about it in Hack the Planet, in Biosphere 1. When was that? When did that take place?
Biosphere 2, they built in Arizona to try to recreate certain climates of the Earth inside a glass container.
And that's actually a disaster of bioengineering in its own way, isn't it?
Right. There you had the idea of trying to mimic a natural system. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of other examples I give in the book of humans trying to alter natural systems to get certain things they'd want to do. But geoengineering is much more than simply trying to change a local ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It's actually global.
Right.
And there are two basic types. The first is to suck in carbon dioxide from the sky, because it's the greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide that are causing the warming. And so you might suck in the carbon dioxide by growing algae blooms in the ocean.
But that leads to other problems. For instance, the algae blooms. You've got another scenario in there in a lake, and I'm not recalling the name of it, but they thought, oh, their algae blooms will bring in this kind of fish to, or frogs. It's frogs to eat, to eat up the algae. And that had caused problems with other organisms and creatures.
Right. Sometimes when you alter one system, you might have unexpected effects.
Right.
In fact, most of the scientists thinking about these radical means have really expect unintended consequences and hope they'll never have to do some of these efforts in the book. I mean, the most radical geoengineering schemes are actually blocking sunlight from hitting the Earth. And this you might do by floating white plastic pieces in the Arctic, which would reflect sun up, or even brightening clouds. By adding particles to sea clouds, you actually may make the clouds more reflective. Or even the most radical idea, which would be to alter the stratosphere, the high atmosphere, by adding particles, which would create a kind of haze that would go around the planet, or maybe in areas if you were able to sort of regionalize it, and actually reduce the amount of solar radiation that strikes the Earth. It's a crazy idea.
And that leads me to ask, you're a journalist and a reporter in the field of science.
Right.
What originally got you interested in bioengineering? Was there a certain conference or event?
In 2007, I went to a meeting on geoengineering at Harvard, and this was really, I expected that all these serious scientists, some of the best in the country, were going to reject this fringe idea. But instead, because of the severity of the emissions we're putting into the air, because of the effects that we're seeing in the Arctic, because of the migration of species, because of temperature trends, and some really scary worst-case scenarios, these scientists decided for the first time, really, that there ought to be studies into this radical concept.
It is radical. What's the most radical thing that you learned about in the course of researching this book? What's the thing that really seems scariest or most promising, or maybe they're the same thing?
So there have been all kinds of wild and crazy ideas to try to alter the planet's climate. The Soviets in the 50s and 60s, they weren't trying to fix a problem like scientists are now. They were trying to improve their climate. They had a cold country. And so they thought of flying sort of Saturn-like rings above the Earth that would reflect more sunlight, onto the surface of the planet. They were talking about damming the Bering Strait.
Siberia, the last resort.
Right. They would dam the Bering Strait and suck warm water in from the Atlantic into the Arctic, which would melt Siberia, and they would, you know, increase the amount of cropland that they could have. And even recently, a scientist writing in one of the most prestigious journals in the country suggested flying these tiny, these ultra-thin disks to the point in space between the sun and the Earth where they could form a giant blocker. Mm-hmm. And that would reflect, say, 2% or something, some small fraction of the sun's rays, which would cool the planet.
Wow.
I mean, I think worst case scenarios will inspire scientists to come up with some crazy
stuff. Ideas. You know, a lot of the people who responded to your recent appearance on Diane Rehm, which I thought was really interesting hearing, they were concerned about the quality of information that we're able to get as general members of the general public. And since you are a journalist, I wondered what your response to that was. Do you think we're getting as much info about things like bioengineering as we should? And if not, what's the solution?
Yeah, it's not just with geoengineering that I think there are questions about how scientists deal with the public. I think in general, scientists need to do a better job of communicating things like, you know, temperature trends, uncertainty, worst case scenarios. Each of these are difficult ideas. But I think one of the main points I make in my book is that when you have an uncertain situation, we don't know what the temperature is going to be in the future. We don't know what adding a certain amount of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere between now and 2100 is going to do. You have to act in a way that allows you to plan for worst-case scenarios. Because that uncertainty that some have pointed at and said, we don't know what's going to happen, therefore we shouldn't do anything extreme, that can be turned around. That uncertainty can be an argument for you to have a kind of worst-case scenario backup plan.
Right.
You know, everyone has fire insurance, despite the fact that most people don't expect their house to go on fire.
Right.
And everyone also keeps a fire extinguisher just in case, you know, there's a fire in your kitchen, even though it's an unlikely event. And I think by the same token, scientists are thinking of these radical ways as a kind of fire extinguisher in case we need them in the future.
How do you feel about it now? How do you feel about bioengineering? Are you a believer? Is that a fair question?
I hope we'll never have to do geoengineering. But I think that we have no choice. We have no choice but to consider studying it. And that's because even if you were to stop all emissions today of carbon dioxide, this pernicious trace gas, it's a very small percentage. Only 4 molecules per 10,000, and that's causing the warming we've seen. Even if you stopped emitting that today, this planet would continue to warm up in the same way that if you stop heating a pot of water on a stove, it'll keep warming.
Right.
And if that warming continues, we don't know what effects that could have on the Arctic, on the migration of species, on sea level rise. We're still learning what effects that could have.
Well, and geoengineering, at the very least, is going to keep us thinking about those things.
Right.
The book is Hack the Planet, Scientists' Best Hope or Worst Nightmare for Averting Climate Catastrophe. It's by Eli Kentish, and it's from John Wiley & Sons. Thank you so much for being here, Eli.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Join us next time on The Book Studio.